We're actually going to play a little musical chairs. I'm going to ask you to stand up again for the reading of God's word. We are in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. That's in page 812 of the Pew Bible. If you have no Bible with you, go ahead and grab one of those black ones in front of you. You can have it. But we're in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27 this morning. This is pretty much the final word in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We come to a close officially next week on a summary statement, but this is his last instruction in that sermon. He says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." This is God's word. Lord Jesus, we praise you this morning. We ask that you would speak clearly to our hearts, Lord, that we would listen, that we would be attentive, that we'd hear your voice, and that we would say yes. We pray this in Christ's name, amen.
The planning for this port began almost a year ago, but this really represents the beginning of the building rising out of the ground. It's a roughly 18-hour operation around the clock.
We started placing it at midnight. We're going to be in tents at 800-900 yards an hour for about 12 hours, and then we should have the bulk of the concrete in by 2 o'clock.
We broke ground almost 2 years ago, and this is the completion of the foundation, and from here, the actual structure in the building will be built and will be going vertical.
There's seven pumps in here, and we're trying to place 900, 950 yards an hour.
So the concrete that's being placed today would fill 1,400 trucks, 12,000 cubic yards. There's 5 million pounds of the rebar in the hole. So this is your normal size rebar. This is a number 4. But what the concrete is being placed in is a number 18 rebar. It's 2.25 inches in diameter. This is the largest size rebar that they make.
These are rare projects. They just don't happen every day. We love it. That's what we do for a living.
This is remarkable. I wake up every day. I pinch myself. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It will be the tallest office building west of Chicago at 1,070 feet. It will mark the center of the new economy and really redefine the skyline of San Francisco. This will be the icon of downtown San Francisco.
It will not see completion until late 2018, but when it is finally completed, the Salesforce Tower will be the tallest building west of what was formerly called the Sears Tower. After breaking ground about 2.5 years ago, they have now completed 45 of the 61 stories, and it now currently stands at 720 feet. But upon its completion, this skyscraper will have 61 floors and will reach 1,070 feet. As you saw in the video, the foundation itself is a massive concrete slab with a depth of 14 feet and a breadth of 1 acre. The pouring for that foundation lasted more than 18 hours. A total of 1,400 mixing trucks delivered nearly 49 million pounds of concrete, while gigantic crane pumps poured the concrete into its hole. While all of this was going on, Workers frantically did the finishing work below, and it is regarded now as one of the largest and longest concrete pours in history. To give you an idea of the expansiveness of this project, try to picture in your mind a cubit yard. Think of a yard and a cubit yard. That's a yard by a yard by a yard of concrete. This foundation required 12,000 cubit yards of concrete. That's enough to fill up almost four Olympic swimming pools full of concrete. Taken by itself, the concrete weighed almost 8 million pounds. 8 million pounds of concrete were poured into a 14-foot subterranean lattice of rebar. This lattice work was comprised of 12 layers of rebar, each a baseball bat thick, with 6 inches between each layer. The rebar alone for this building weighed almost 5 million pounds. And all of this is just for the foundation. Underneath the foundation, much more was going on. Attached to the foundation were 42 piles that spiraled 325 feet below into the bedrock of San Francisco. These holes were drilled all the way down past the soft soil and into the hard bedrock below. Each of these holes were then filled with rebar and with concrete, and in order to lock the entire foundation into place, they were locked into the bedrock below. This has and continues to be a massive undertaking. What amazes me is the amount of time and money, that is the cost of rebar, concrete, and paid workers, that was spent in order to create what? A strong foundation for a very tall building. It took more than 2 years from the day they first broke ground to the day the foundation was poured before they could actually start building this building. Why? Because the foundation is what matters most. It's the foundation that supports everything else. It's the foundation upon which everything is built. If the foundation is weak, then the rest of the building will be weak too. Jesus said, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall. Why? Because it was founded on the rock." Jesus affirms the importance of a strong foundation. But he doesn't end here. Jesus also poignantly warns us about the dangers of a weak foundation. In verse 26, he continues, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." 6 years ago, Pamela Buttry was practicing her putting game within the spacious confines of her 57th floor apartment when she noticed something rather peculiar. Every time she putted her ball, it kept veering to the same corner of her living room. She could actually throw it in the opposite direction, and it would begin to roll back to the same corner of her apartment each and every time. Something was off. This was the first sign to residents of the San Francisco Millennium Tower that something was wrong. Millennium Tower was originally branded as a 58-story luxury building, housing a 75-foot indoor lap pool, a health club and spa, an in-house cinema, and a restaurant and wine bar. Some of its penthouses have sold for more than $10 million. Two of its most famous tenants are San Francisco 49er Joe Montana and Giants outfielder Hunter Prince. Although originally hailed as the premier apartment building in San Francisco, it is now being called the Leaning Tower of San Francisco. And some of you have seen this in the news. It is recent and current. But the problem is, it's not just leaning, it's also sinking. Over the past 7 years since its completion, the tower has sunk a total of 16 inches. And because things don't always sink evenly, right, the building now leans at least 6 inches to its side. Some have calculated 14, between 6 and 14. Now, Italy's the Leaning Tower of Pisa leans more than 16 feet, right? But over the past 2 decades, its foundation has undergone extensive engineering to prevent it from toppling. But more importantly, it does not sit on a major fault line. The Millennium Tower, though, does. And so the question that the entire city is now asking is, what's going to happen when the next major earthquake comes? Unlike the Salesforce Tower that we saw earlier, the Millennium Tower uses only piles driven 90 to 90 feet into the soft earth. Unlike the Salesforce Tower, its piles do not drill into the bedrock 325 feet below. It's got a foundation, but the foundation is secured to what's called soft soil, not bedrock. You see, one could almost say it's resting on sand, not rock. Pat Shire is a geotechnical engineer who is leading the investigation for this building, warns that the tower might sink between 24 to 31 inches in total, but nobody knows for sure. Meanwhile, cracks have been seen outside the building, all along its sidewalks, and within its 5-floor underground garage, walls revealing floor-to-ceiling cracks are now being bracketed by pressure gauges to measure their growth. Jerry Dodson, a resident who paid $2.1 million for his 2-bedroom apartment on the 42nd floor, asks, when is this building going to stop sinking? And as of today, no one seems to have an answer. As of yesterday, the city sued the builders for this building. Millennium Tower's present and future safety is the topic of just about every conversation right now in San Francisco, and it's making headlines around the world. Why? Because unlike the Salesforce Tower, which was anchored to the subterranean bedrock floor, the Millennium Tower was built upon soft soil. Sand. And what happens when one's house is built upon sand, church? Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now, on Saturday morning, June 27, 2009, the 13-story Lotus Riverside Block 7 collapsed. The Lotus Riverside Block 7 was one of 11 blocks in a housing project in the Mithang district of Shanghai, China. The building was not entirely finished, and therefore there was no tenants living within it. So amazingly, only one man was killed, because it happened at 5:30 in the morning and he was the only one on site. I could have chosen all sorts of other buildings with lots of deaths, but what caused this building to collapse? With the building nearly completed, work began on the building's south side to put in a parking garage. 15 feet of earth was excavated in order to provide an area for the building's underground parking garage. However, the construction company moved that dirt from the south side of the building and proceeded to dump all of that dirt on the north side of the building, where it piled up to a height of 33 feet. This movement of earth had two effects. First, it reduced the pressure of the foundation on the south side, while second, it increased additional pressure on the building's north side. All of that would have been fine for the time being, but the day before its collapse, there were heavy rains. These rains soaked the entire construction site on both sides, but more importantly, it caused a nearby river to overflow, to spill over the flood walls and soak the newly formed 33-foot-high mound of dirt. And church, students, based on your collective experience, which weighs more, dirt or mud? This newly formed 33-foot-high mound of excavated dirt became a much heavier mass of mud and began to push down and out along the side of the building, until all of that pressure on the north side snapped the northern piles in half, causing the building to tumble onto its southern side. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You see, the foundation wasn't strong enough. The foundation was built upon sand. These piles didn't go into the bedrock either. They just went into the soft soil. And the building came toppling over. Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Friend, the question this morning is, are you building your life on sand, or are you building your life on rock? A house built upon the sand will not stand for long, but a house that is built upon the rock will stand forever. Too many are building their lives upon a weak foundation. They have put their faith in man-made foundations that will not last. They have put their faith in money, relationships, like their children, their grandchildren, their spouse. Put their faith in education, career, their health, their clothes, their style, their car, their house, all of their accomplishments, all of their titles, maybe their retirement or their retirement fund, the vacations that they have taken or will take, and their image. But all of it's sand. It's all here and it's all gone tomorrow. It's fleeting, it's passing, it's sand that will wash away when the heavy storms of life come. The storms will come, and when the storms come, they will wash away the foundation. Our central truth this morning is that fools build their lives upon the sand, but the wise build upon the rock, Christ Jesus, our only sure foundation. Friends, Jesus is the only sure foundation in this life. He is the rock upon which we stand and upon which we weather all of life's storms. If Andy was here, he would say amen. Only Jesus is the sure foundation on which to build. Jesus came and he lived a righteous life, the righteous life that you and I could not and cannot. He was crucified for that righteous life, not because he deserved it, but because he loved us, because we couldn't pay the penalty for our own sin. He died, and he took upon himself not only our sin, but the penalty of our sin, and he died. But, praise God, he rose. Amen? Jesus rose. And as he rose, he demonstrated to the world that he alone has the power to conquer sin and to conquer its effect, which is death. And it is Jesus in whom we can place all of our faith and all of our hope. Peter tells us, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever builds in him will not be put to shame. You know, back in the day, there was no floor that the house was built upon. You walked on dirt. But they began the building with a cornerstone. And that was the foundation. And church, Jesus is the foundation. He is everything. The Bible is clear that whoever puts their faith in this rock will never be put to shame. And after 33 years of putting my faith in this rock, in Jesus Christ, after spending 40 years in the church, surrounded by God's people, I have witnessed that he will not allow us to be put to shame. You can build a life on this rock. Friend, what foundation have been building your life upon? Have you been building your life on sand, or have you been building it on the rock, Jesus Christ? If it's not upon Jesus, then it will not last. It just won't. It will last for a time, but it will not last, and it certainly will not last for eternity. Have you built your life on Jesus Christ, the sure foundation, or have you been building your life on sinking sand? What have you been trusting in lately? In what have you been putting all your time and energy lately? You know, the scary thing about this question is that none of us really know the answer to it until the storm comes. It's in the storm that our faith is tested and tried. We really do not know how strong our foundation is until the storm comes. But I look out and I know some of you have been in the storm this last year, last 5 years. And I also know that you would be the first to testify that he is the only sure and strong foundation for this life. Are you willing to take the gamble and find out too late that your life has no foundation? Jerry Dodson paid $2.1 million for his two-bedroom apartment on the 42nd floor of the Millennium Tower. And he still asks, when is this building going to stop sinking? Church, have you built your life upon sinking sand? If you have, are you willing today to start building it on the rock, Jesus Christ? Our central truth, fools build their lives upon the sand, but the wise build their lives upon the rock, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray for a little bit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the testimony that you have given us as people of faith, as your people, the testimony that you are our sure foundation. that over the years you have proven yourself as good and faithful and strong and mighty. And that no matter what storms of life we might be facing, you are our rock. Lord, if we have been wayward in our faith lately, if we have struggled to stand tall upon your promises, help us to stand tall this morning. Give us faith to trust you and to continue to allow you to build upon your foundation. May we be humble. May we be willing. Lord, may we be expectant for your work in our lives. We pray that this morning in Jesus' name.